Hello, this is Jim Wright, introducing Battery Charge, energizing your life coaching relationship, 35 Ways to Vitalize Your Coaching Experience by Connie Shaw. Connie is a life coach, an international speaker, workshop facilitator, an author, and a media guest. If you're interested in having Connie as a coach, you can contact her at coaching@connieshaw.com. This program is copyrighted in 2007 by Connie B. Shaw. In addition to coaching and counseling nearly 700 people since the late 1970s, Connie Shaw has inspired and galvanized thousands of people worldwide in over 100 organizations for whom she has consulted. As a communication specialist and consultant or workshop facilitator, she has been engaged by business, government, medicine, the clergy, museums, and academia. Although her client list is far too lengthy to cover in its entirety, a sampling of some of her clients include Native American tribes, the U.S. Air Force Accounting Office and the Air Force Academy, Ball Corporation, various spiritual groups, the YWCA, art museums and the National Endowment for the Arts, a White House Commission for Women, 60 Colorado school districts, and retail business franchises such as the National Headquarters for Big O Tires. She has keynoted conventions and has spoken in university settings in 11 countries. Many of Connie's coaching clients have written and published books, have designed workshops, have started their own businesses, or have healed their shame and grief from spousal abuse or divorce. Among the many teaching stories which Connie could tell about touching moments in her career thus far, three stand out. One of her first clients was a Chinese American whom Connie taught to read, write, speak, and spell English. At the time of the coaching, her client was working as a waitress in a local Chinese restaurant which Connie used to frequent. After a year and a half of working together, Connie's client progressed from having been a waitress and an employee in someone else's restaurant to purchasing and managing her own restaurant and buying a new Mercedes. A second story involves a Native American tribe which engaged Connie to work with battered wives of tribal members. When Connie arrived at the remote reservation, she was horrified to discover one of the reasons for the extremely low self-esteem of the Native women. It seems that on Friday nights, after getting their paychecks, the Native husbands would go to local bars, get intoxicated, get into fights, then go home and beat their wives. The wives would call the sheriff's office, which would send a police car, and the battered wives would be placed in jail for their own protection. They'd be released on Monday after the husbands had sobered up, and the scenario would start all over again the following Friday. Naturally, the women erroneously believed that they must be unworthy people if they were being beaten. That notion was reinforced when they, rather than the husbands, were placed in jail, adding insult to injury week after week and year after year. The result of Connie's work with the tribe is that the batterers went to jail. A woman shelter was designed and built, and the abusers and the battered family members were given training in conflict resolution. A third story involves Connie's work with a large downtown Denver bank which had 1,400 employees and 33 affiliate banks. She was one of the first people in the U.S. to successfully design and execute a unique, productive, and highly profitable coaching and mentoring program in the banking industry. She designed a fast-track mentoring program for women and minorities who'd been discriminated against as part of a class action lawsuit. The program was voluntary on the part of senior management coaches and mentors, as well as the women and minority protégés. Coaches were given guidelines for helping their protégés, and in-depth training was provided to the in-house coaching clients. The result of the very successful program is that within about 18 months, 97 of the 100 women advanced two or more pay grades, gained new poise and communication skills, and received new promotions and responsibilities. Three of the employees were hired by other institutions and were given considerable pay increases and responsibilities. Thus, all 100 advanced in their careers, with 97% having made significant contributions to the sponsoring organization of the mentoring and coaching program. Such a success rate is virtually unknown in any training program. Connie is able to garner loyalty, to inspire teamwork, and to galvanize people to believe in themselves and in their dreams.
Thank you, Jim, and hello, everyone. The title of this podcast is Battery Charge, Energizing Your Life Coaching Relationship. On this program, we have 35 ways to energize your coaching experience and to get more accountability to yourself and between you and your coach. Life coaching is one of the fastest growing fields in the U.S. today. Your coach's function is to empower you to be your best in all life areas. The relationship that you have with your life coach or mentor or with a spiritual advisor is also one of the most intimate and influential relationships that you'll ever have in your life. It can deepen your awareness and can catapult you forward. It's essential that you're very clear about what you expect from yourself and from your goals and your life coach.
That was my question. What is our accountability to ourselves and to our life coach? And specifically, what is my accountability to myself?
That is the key question, Jim. There are several points I'd like to mention here. First of all, when you are getting ready for your session with your life coach, whether it's a weekly session or whether you meet twice a month on the phone, whether it's in person or on the phone, you need to plan for the session. Then you need to prepare some key questions or key points to talk over with your coach. Be sure to ask for help and to be honest about your feelings. Set and reach attainable goals. Know your core values and priorities, which comprise your ethics. And finally, review your progress.
Well, what about accountability to your coach?
It's really important that you're prepared and on time for sessions with your coach. If for some reason you have to delay an appointment because you got caught in traffic or something has come up where you simply are unable to keep the appointment, make sure that you inform your coach 24 hours before the appointment so that the coach can schedule someone else in. Also, tell your coach what you expect and find out whether or not your expectations are realistic and possible. Be honest. Be honest with yourself and with your coach. In fact, it's this element of truthfulness, of authenticity, that does more than anything else in your relationship with any type of coach to release your passion and to elevate your energy level. You might say that as a good rule of thumb, you can adopt the practice of telling the truth faster to yourself and others. Starting now, tell the truth faster to yourself and others. Notice when you're trying to impress another person and stop. That can be lethal to the intimacy of your project and your process. Ask for candid feedback. State what that means. Concentrate totally on the session. That means no multitasking. When you're stuck, say so. The coach is there to help. Also, stay attuned to your feelings about the relationship. If it isn't working, say so. And finally, it's very important that you get a commitment that all information that is shared, all ideas, plans, drawings, inventions, or book titles will never be divulged to anyone else. This should go without saying, but I think you can't really stress it too often, especially if you're working with proprietary materials and projects. This is part two of the program, Accountability to You from Your Life Coach. Part two has two sections. One, overall expectations, and then the expectations for each individual session. What about accountability to you from your life coach? What should that entail? Now, in regard to overall expectations, first of all, it's important that the person has competence, expertise, and skill to guide and to inspire you. Secondly, discretion is crucial in keeping your information between you. Thirdly, it's important that there's a genuine liking for you and interest in you and your life projects. And four, your coach should have the ability to be current. Now, I've developed a little device around the word current, C-U-R-R-E-N-T. When a coach is current, The C stands for communication skills way above average. U, being upbeat and up to date. R, reads on many topics. R is real and authentic and has a realistic client load. E, educates you in many areas, for example, in realistic goal setting, noticing your self-sabotaging patterns, and in helping you with communication skills. N, your next step, keeps you moving forward. And T, is trustworthy, doesn't surf, walk the dog, or check emails while on the call that you are paying for. Now then, in regard to what you might expect from each session with your coach, first of all, naturally, your coach needs to be on time and prepared, just as you do. And it's good if your coach takes notes and keeps them in a folder. Three, pays exquisite attention and listens well. Four, gives superb feedback, helpful hints, and new ideas. Five, ask what you accomplished on your weekly and long-term goals. Six, helps catapult you forward with energy and questioning when you get stuck or when you're tired or feeling lukewarm or overwhelmed by life or sidetracked by something else. 7. Gets your goal commitments, tasks, and strategies for the next few weeks. 8. Asks what patterns stand in the way of reaching goals. 9. Asks what you intend to do about them. And 10. Asks what your intention is for the session. And 11, keeps you honest. What about periodic review? How often should that take place, and what does that entail, really? The coach ideally will ask you what goals you've achieved this month, this quarter, and this year. If the coach doesn't do that, then you yourself review your weekly, monthly, quarterly, and annual goals, and determine where you've advanced in what areas of your life, where you feel happy and satisfied, and which areas you may have neglected due to other priorities that were pressing. Now, your coach can ask you what you've learned about yourself in your times together or as a result of the coaching help. The coach can say, which of my skills are most helpful to you? Which patterns and habits of mine are least helpful to you? What was the most valuable thing that I ever said to you? The coach can ask how you're feeling about yourself, your life, your relationships, your health and energy, your playtime, your income, your spiritual life, and your mission statement. It's really important that you maintain a balanced life as you continue your work with your coach so that you don't go off in a particular direction that throws everything else out of balance. And make sure that your goals are actually ones that you set and that excite you and that are not being set to try to please the coach or try to impress anyone or somehow or other compare yourself with some imaginary person in your mind. The coach can also ask if it's time to redo or revise your goals when you seem to have either reached them or it doesn't seem as if you have the energy or the passion to really go after them the way that you had originally thought. It's always valuable if the coach asks if you're happy with the coaching relationship, and if not, why not? Your life coach tells you what your unique aspects, skills, and talents are vis-a-vis the relationship and what contributions you've made to the coach's life. It's a two-way street. It's two-way traffic. It's not just a one-sided experience. And any coach that is honest and that is aware and talented in communications will always be making notes to that effect and constantly encouraging and reinforcing the client. A good coach helps you reset the bar for yourself and keep life challenging. A sensitive, skillful coach is honest with you when you're making excuses, justifying, dodging, lying, fantasizing, underperforming, or just being lazy. Your coach keeps his or her vibration upbeat. A good coach has a balanced sense of humor and helps you have perspective about your life and your projects. Also, an ideal coach won't let you stay in your victim story or stay stuck for very long and will skillfully guide you out of your doldrums and help you recover your enthusiasm for the dream and for your overall mission. In fact, the coach reminds you periodically of your dream, vision, and mission. A good coach gives constant encouragement without insincere flattery. In other words, is able to pinpoint some factors that have caused you to harness your energy to be able to actually attain goals and reach success. And finally, the coach reviews what you've covered, discovered, and done together. If you enjoy your coach and you have good chemistry together, then you can speak frankly about the key points in this piece, and you can ask if your coach is willing to use these ideas in your work together. So you can say that you're equally forthright with your doctor and your lawyer, for example, and you have a clear understanding as to whether or not your expectations will be met. It's not only fair, but it's really essential to convey what your expectations are so that the professional that you've hired can consider whether or not to that person your expectations are realistic and doable without discomfort or even resentment on his part. Now, I have never had a professional tell me that my standards were too high for them to want to continue to work with me. In fact, most of the professionals that I've worked with have told me that they prize our interactions and that they learn something from me with every encounter, even though it's their role to educate and serve me. I enjoy giving my maximal best in every encounter. Always remember that you, as the client, are the customer. If you are the life coach, remember, it's your job to be on the ball, to be aware and alert, and to constantly provide new input and fresh service, and to do this from an attitude of love, caring, genuine interest, compassion, and support of your client. The result of working with a good coach should be that you feel joyfully empowered to give your unique gifts to humanity. There's a saying that being is lost in becoming, but when you know your values, you maintain a meditational practice or attunement to source, you'll stay connected to your core. Without that connection, you have nothing. And in regard to seeking approval, as long as you seek love, praise, permission, or recognition from others, you'll disempower yourself and you'll be out of integrity with yourself. That obsession is your own enemy. Naturally, feedback from other people is important, but you have value by your very existence. It's your job to make you happy. No one else can do that for you. Finally, I'd just like to say that if you cannot find a coach that is smart enough, compassionate enough, exacting enough, or skillful enough, keep looking and intend that the universe or your higher self will send you the perfect person to help you grow to your next level of smooth, happy functioning. There is someone perfect for you, and the magnetic law of attraction will bring that person when you're ready to discover how you have unwittingly thwarted yourself in, for example, your relationships, in your spiritual life, or your work, your health and fitness, or your finances and prosperity. Are you ready to take responsibility for your thoughts, your words, your actions, and for everything which you're creating, both consciously and unconsciously? Congratulations! Then say out loud, Universe, bring it on! I'm ready for my next step.
You may contact Connie Shaw specifically for a coaching sign-up, if there's an available spot for you at this time, by emailing her at coaching@connieshaw.com.